Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. You've heard of planes being hijacked to Cuba, but very likely here is one incident you haven't read about. Captain Harry L. Davis of National Airlines talked a hippie out of trying to hijack his plane to Cuba. By talking to this lad about Christ, he succeeded in making what could have been a dangerous situation a normal routine landing in Miami. The captain reported the boy had a knife. He seemed emotionally disturbed over all of the trouble and the strife in today's world. Then the captain tried to point out that Christ encountered more opposition than anyone. He was hounded and wound up on the cross crucified. Says the captain of the plane, I asked him several times to meditate for 5 minutes, to pray silently to the Lord for guidance and help. After praying a short prayer, the lad broke into tears. The captain then took the hand that held the knife. Indeed, prayer was the turning point. Well, in just a moment, we'll return to continue our discussion. But first,
it's time for today's news interview.
Exclusively, Mr. Alan D. George, Southeast Regional Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship, Clarksville, Georgia. Mr. George, in view of the recent times in which we are living and some of the conditions that have occurred to the teenagers and the college campus, young men and women, where they are involved in, let's say, riots and in conditions that have happened over the past 3 or 4 years in our country, where do you think the failing has occurred and at what level?
I believe that we have failed by not reaching them as boys and girls. Let's face it, a Christian doesn't become involved in riots and so on unless he's there to stop it. But there are so few who are even interested in doing that. But the Child Evangelism Fellowship, we believe, has been raised up of the Lord to help fill in the gap. Now, in the United States of America, for instance, today, there are about 42 million children who've never seen the inside of a church, believe it or not, under the age of 15. Well, I don't know the reason. It might be parental delinquency. That's probably where the answer is. But regardless of the reason, someone has to reach them for Jesus Christ. So our basic desire is to help train the adults and Christian teenagers to reach the boys and girls. And I think if we would do this, I think Child Evangelism Fellowship really, working with the local churches, has the answer to these riots and so on.
You've been listening to Mr. Alan D. George, Southeast Regional Director of Child Evangelism Fellowship, Clarksville, Georgia. This is Bob Barry reporting.
Here again is your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Well, Stuart Hamlin wrote the song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. Indeed, it is no secret what God can do in answer to prayer. A missionary related a few years ago how he and a fellow companion who lived in Malaya needed to go to the nearest town to collect some money which had been deposited in a bank for them. They set off early in the morning, hoping to return the same day. But upon collecting the money, they found the journey too much for one day. So they decided to spend the night sleeping on a hillside en route to their mission station. Morning came and they resumed their trip, arriving back home safely. Some weeks later, a man came into the hospital for treatment. He stared at the missionary and then said, Haven't I seen you before? No, replied the missionary, I don't think we've ever met. Oh, yes, we have, said the man. You were camping out on a hillside a few weeks ago. Then this man related this fantastic story. He told of following the two missionaries from the bank with the purpose of robbing them. He waited until dark. But when he came to the hillside, he found it was surrounded by soldiers, 16 of them, all having swords. The missionary dismissed the incident as an hallucination until, arriving home on furlough, he related the story to a gathering in his hometown. After the meeting, one of the men came up to discuss the incident. and by comparing dates in their diaries, it was found that 16 of the saints were found praying that very night. The bandit saw 16 soldiers guarding them. Well, my friends, it is no secret what God and prayer can do. General Nathan F. Twining says, "Prayer has always been a source of deep satisfaction to me." Then the general relates how his shot-up B-17 Flying Fortress was unable to land during days of the Second World War. So the pilot ditched the craft at night in heavy seas. Every man on board called upon God as he'd never done before, and all aboard were spared. The pilot made a safe landing, and the 15 men aboard the plane were able to remain afloat on life rafts. For 6 days and nights, they drifted aimlessly, living on bits of food the men had in their pockets and drinking rainwater. The Navy called off any aerial search after the third day, and only because Colonel Hank Everest, now General Everest, refused to give up hope were they spotted and returned safely. Well, General Twining observes, "Through the years in various positions of responsibility in the military service, I have been called on to make some extremely significant and difficult decisions. I admit to having been afforded good sound advice prior to making up my mind. But at the same time, and in my own way, I can say with pride that I sought God's guidance, and He has never failed." How wonderful to have a testimony like that. I wonder how many of us today could declare with Joshua, "Not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord spake." Indeed, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, what He says He will do. Well, how many other instances we might relate concerning answers to prayer? I'm thinking of the true story of the man who wore a pin with a picture of a fish on it. When asked about the picture, the man related this story. It seems 60 years ago, while still a boy, he went out to sea. The captain was a Christian, so they hadn't traveled very far when all aboard were called together to pray for the safety of the crew and the passengers. The captain was a godly man, and soon every sailor aboard was won to Christ. On one trip, their ship encountered a storm, a terrible storm, and the vessel struck a rock. Soon the water was rushing into the boat, and the men were not able to pump out the water fast enough. The captain encouraged his men, reminding them of the prayer in which the vessel was committed to God for safety and for their own preservation. Well, something happened, for soon they noticed the ship was being pumped dry. Just what happened, they did not know until they reached shore and the ship was dry docked. Then they found that the great hole in the ship was closed by a dolphin, a porpoise, known as the friend of man. Well, just as God sent a great fish to aid Jonah, so He sent the dolphin to help these sailors, and their ship was saved, their lives spared. Ah, yes, God answers prayer. Well, John Clark paced up and down inside his cabin. He and his wife had established a work in Africa, but now she lay dying in that jungle with a tropical fever. There was one request she kept repeating. It was a prayer for 3 ripe tomatoes. But who ever heard of tomatoes in the whole of the Belgian Congo? Hundreds of miles from any doctor or any market, to find help or healing was almost impossible. Only the prayers of the entire mission compound seemed to keep Minnie Clark alive. Although weak, she kept repeating, "If only I had 3 ripe tomatoes." Well, the God who created tomatoes and caused them to grow had it all arranged that this faithful missionary should be granted her request, 3 ripe tomatoes. For one day a tribal woman appeared. She wanted to see the missionary. No one had ever seen her before. And in the crude basket which she carried, John Clark could hardly believe his eyes, for there were 3 ripe tomatoes. This native had come to ask the missionary for advice. Food was scarce in her village, but here was some queer fruit she had grown from seeds left by a white man. Were these all right to eat? Sure, she could get some more. Well, Minnie Clark ate the tomatoes and lived. Lived because a miracle-working God answered prayer. And while relating miracles, we might mention the Christian native who was also dying of a fever. To the missionary doctor, the woman had asked, "Tell me, does God want His children to have what is good for them?" "Why, yes," was the reply, "no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." With an eager look, she asked, "Doctor, would ice not be good for me?" But ice was an impossibility out at the mission station, and he tried to change the subject. But nothing could deter the faith of this woman who believed in a God who works miracles, who said, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The missionaries had gathered for prayer and for her recovery. How long they had been praying they did not know. But soon there was the sound of rain, and then hail on the tin roof, an almost unheard of event when it wasn't the rainy season. A storm had come and quickly gone, and the doctor rushed out and scooped up the hail. Upon seeing the ice, the dying woman became radiant. "See, doctor, God has sent ice from heaven. Now I shall be well." And she did recover in answer to prayer. Well, Charles Finney declared, "All history of the church shows that when God answers prayer, he gives his people the very thing they ask for." We are reminded of the disciples who came to Jesus saying, "Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." Indeed, what a blanket request. They should have known better than to make such a ridiculous request. You would have supposed the Savior would have said, "Go away. How can you ask such a foolish question?" But our Lord turns to them and says, "What would ye that I should do for you? What is it you want?" Well, friend, isn't that just like the Lord? Loving, patient, understanding. And he goes on to say to his disciples, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Andrew Murray says God invites us to come boldly to him, to hold conversation with him, to ask from him such things as we need, then to experience what a blessing there is in fellowship with him. It was Roger Babson, the great statistician, who declared, "The greatest undeveloped resource in our country is faith, and the greatest unused power is prayer." And when it comes to prayer, few realize the things for which we can and should believe and should pray for. One thing especially we are commanded to pray concerning is that we might be ready for the coming of the Lord. Our Lord, after warning that his return would be like a snare or trap that shall befall the world, he cautions, "Watch ye and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Well, friend, are you praying to be ready for our Lord's return? By trusting Christ as your Savior, living for him daily, yes, I believe you can be ready, should he come yet today. "Indeed, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.